Well, the kid's in bed, and here we are, Eway and the Beast, back with the weekly podcast. And since we're now doing it for a second week in a row, it is indeed weekly.
Really?
Yeah.
And was it last Wednesday?
It was a week ago today.
Holy moly.
Yeah, we are hot. This brings me to a common mistake that we need to correct when it comes to the announcements of the sequence
first
of things.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
because we can say it's weekly now because we actually
yeah, but
but last week we couldn't say weekly.
No, so we're going to correct that shortly. There's an issue. Okay. And we're going to talk about glue eating and defensive work posturing and who's more sorry that they didn't get to see the friend that they haven't seen in a while. And there's trivia. And there's
a brain
revival. Yeah. I mean, this is fun. This is good. And in mere moments, your 80s movie clip. You get to guess along with Sarah. Coming up.
Oh, God. Abomination.
Eway and the Beast. This is Eway and the Beast.
Okay, what movie is this?
If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, but I didn't hear music coming out.
Yeah, you know, because it's a trailer.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's hard to get clips, and I think it's just copyright stuff, but it's amazing the difference in trailer technology from 1988 to now. It's totally different things. In the old days, they're all choppy and slow, and now, you know, they're all flying at you and stuff. Okay, here we go. Here's the clip again. Pay close attention.
If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now.
Oh, golly, I don't know.
Yeah, pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. What is it?
Like, I'm going to give you a hint.
Well, I don't like
it
those.
It was the third in the series of very funny, legendary travel movies.
The third. Okay,
I guess travel's a little misleading.
Vacation, and there was the Europe one, and was this the Christmas Vacation?
That is correct!
Yeah!
Yeah, he was talking to Cousin Eddie, who surprised him.
That's right. Is that the cousin with the trailer?
Yeah, you know, Chevy Chase in Fletch and Fletch Lives, and in those three movies, I don't think you get a much better comedic actor.
No. And the Fletch ones were the best, I think.
And I don't know what happened to him. I mean, he did the show, and that...
That was bad.
Maybe he just, his ego couldn't recover. He tried to do a late night show. I don't know if you remember.
So did Pat Sajak.
And so, yeah, so did Pat Sajak. So did Magic Johnson.
Oh, boy.
And that was bad.
Disaster.
And I watched with my friend Todd he lived in a hotel room, and he was old enough to buy beers where I spent a lot of time in college, and we could not wait to see Chevy Chase in his show. I remember he had a guest that was a finger puppet master. And he had this little black plate and two little spotlights, and he did little finger puppets, and it was something you could see, you know, getting off the subway. And Chevy Chase didn't really know what to do. You know, David Letterman would have been making fun of him.
And
everybody would have been a little uncomfortable, but in a fun way. It was bad. And I remember after that Chevy Chase even did, I think it was like a Doritos ad where he made fun of himself because it was, and then at the same time, Pat Sajak and did that thing, and Magic Johnson.
Agents or something? I don't know.
But, good news, folks. Last week, in our weekly podcast, we questioned the existence of Arsenio Hall.
The existence.
And is he here anymore? And just moments ago, I turned on the TV and ended up on Channel 3 on our cable, which is My Network TV, I think that was what it's called. And there was a show on, a bad show, called The World's Funniest Moments, I think. And it's what it is they're just stealing internet clips and showing them. And they show them at the YouTube screen on a full screen TV. It was really grainy, and they're like, a cat's jumping into a tree. You can't tell what it is. Mm. It's like a sonogram where the nurse is like, "Oh, there's its ears and its eyes," and it's like you're staring at the Milky Way. And the host, Arsenio Hall.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. He doesn't look that bad.
No, he looks very much the same. His head might look a little smaller.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I think maybe that was the hair, you know?
Well, yeah, his head looked... Well, that happens because he's maybe filling out a little bit over the years.
And his head shrinks?
Well, yeah, because, like Obama one day, you know, by the end of his presidency, you know how in the beginning they're all pretty?
Oh, I know, at the end they're all haggard and gray.
George Bush now, just... Sheesh. Just pale and wrinkled.
The hair tone goes about like 18 shades lighter. I mean,
I know.
Drastic.
Yeah, call Just for Men. I mean, I remember Bill Clinton too. He got puffier and stuff. And I only bring that up because Barack Obama right now, his ears are really big. But give him 4 years, he'll have put on a little stress weight.
I don't know. He's really healthy and stuff.
President Bush jogged, 4 miles a day?
Oh,
whatever.
Please. He was never healthy.
And I look at him now. He's an elder statesman. But, yeah, so I'm just saying that Arsenio Hall.
But I think he looked great, though.
He looked really good. It was weird.
I mean, other than being on that show.
The audience, you know how in America's Funniest on videos, it was people who wanted to be there. This was clearly like a infomercial audience.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of those shows on, geez.
Yeah, I mean, but hey, he's got a gig. It's very exciting. So we still haven't tracked down both the Coreys, although you can have them at your party for $500. So the thing we were going to correct is you had an event at your work.
Yeah, well, this happens all the time.
Blaming your work, but this is where it came up.
Yeah, when they say first annual whatever.
There's no such thing as first annual.
No, it's the inaugural. That's if you're thinking about making it. I don't know. It could just be the first ever.
Yeah, first ever is fine.
Yeah.
First annual,
but it's not
no.
First annual. It can't be annual until there's a second year.
Yeah, you have to prove yourself before you get that annual title.
Yeah.
Inaugural sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Especially with the excitement of the inauguration coming up. But the inaugural.
I know.
And then after that, it could be whatever. Just fill in the blank. But it sounds a whole lot better with that cool word.
Yeah. And you don't sound as dumb.
That helps.
Yeah, I think so.
But a lot of people don't know, so that you don't really sound dumb. It's
yeah, you're just the common dumbness just surrounds you.
You represent.
Well.
The dumb side of the force.
Anyway, yeah, that just irritates me. Just like I was on a conference call today, and they used the word. What did they use? Irregardless.
Oh.
Which is actually in dictionaries, believe it or not.
It is?
Yes. Why? Yes. Because, again, the dumbness kind of rules the nation. And there's actually two different kinds of dictionaries. There's the...
dictionary?
Yeah, the dumb dictionary is called the descriptive.
Is there a dictionary for idiots?
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, it's the common, like, Merriam-Webster's, blah, blah, blah. They're called... descriptive dictionaries because they are using words that are used commonly throughout the whatever.
So the dictionary is dumbing itself down to try to appeal.
Yeah, and then there's prescriptive dictionaries, which are the proper, real way it should be, which, of course, very few people follow. So people are using the word irregardless,
which is a great word.
A double negative, though.
In one word and a bunch of crazy, obnoxious syllables, it completely refutes itself.
I know. I just want to...
Because regardless of Sarah being grumpy about being on the conference call, we're going to have the conference call.
Right. I still have to be.
Irregardless. It's amazing.
I know. Ugh.
So what does that mean? Irregardless of Sarah being grumpy about being on the conference call, we're going to have the conference call. What does that mean? Because regardless means you're going to do it. Irregardless means...
Regardless.
Yeah, I guess.
No, it's just bad form. Anyway, it's one of those things.
I know. Do we need to take more notes? Because so many times there are things that I know that bug everybody. And I always forget them. There's so many examples of.
I know. I was thinking of another usage. One, and that's completely wrong.
Oh,
especially.
Especially.
Oh, I just want to shoot them. It's not especially. Trust me.
Oh, it's, botten?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I botten myself some...
Botten.
This past weekend, we botten ourselves a... I don't know how... Yeah.
I've heard it. It's hard for us
to... And it just kind of rolls in the conversation.
It does.
And they're like, oh, well...
Oh, here's one that... And everybody's responsible. I mean, I've done this too, but it makes no sense. But Sarah and I's house...
Oh,
I'apostrophe S, which that's...
I don't think so.
No, that I hear that a lot.
Yeah,
it's, you know, Sarah and my. But Sarah, oh man, there's so many good ones out there. We should just get everybody here in the basement and sit around and share. Well, and this ties into some of what we were talking about. A lot of the people, and maybe this has a direct effect, but who would use irregardless a lot? And that's the thing. You can use a word like irregardless. And it's okay if it's just in normal, everyday conversation and it's casual. But often, the problem with irregardless is people put so much emphasis on it. Like, look at me, there's many, this is a big word.
Yeah, it's when they're trying to make this crazy point.
Yeah, they're trying to make a point something. And they really hammer it.
Yeah.
Irregardless.
Yeah, that's how it's said.
Of what Sarah thinks.
Oh, it's awful. I know. I'm not saying I'm just like hate people, but it's just, it's one of those irritations.
Yeah, well, and it comes when they're trying to grandstand and they, you know, and they can't even speak.
Yeah.
They're trying to make an example of somebody. They don't even know the English language. But this came up the other day. Quinn is taken to, and this it could lead to improper grammar, but glue eating. Now, Quinn hasn't taken...
He doesn't do
no,
that.
No, but remember, the argument was he has been grabbing lotion bottles and kind of gnawing on the top, and you said, oh, Quinn, don't be the glue eater. And I said, yeah, don't start eating glue like your dad.
I know, I couldn't believe you were the glue eater.
And that's... that. I wasn't the glue eater. I ate glue. This is the argument, no. Folks. No, this and right now, people are like, I'm totally with Sarah. All right,
yeah.
What are you talking about?
No, but I'm not just called glue eater. I am the glue eater. Are you kidding?
No. I was pretty a savvy young dude, and I always got away with a lot. And
he's gonna start irregardless
of what you think.
I know you're gonna say.
And I'm also very predictable. But listen, I hate glue. And I'm not sure if it's out of desperation or what, but I did. It kind of refreshing. But I wasn't the glue eater. Brent Chedzi, he got that label, and then I could just fly under the radar. So this is my argument. Sure, I ate glue, but Brent Chedzi was the glue eater.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, if
people
that's...
look back on the class, they're not saying like, oh god, yeah, Jared Ewey's the glue eater. No, like, oh, Jared Ewey.
What did he do?
And Jared Ewey was the masturbator.
Secretly eating glue.
Yeah, you know, and you don't want to combine that.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
Yeah, the school nurse.
I don't see the positive spin on that as much as you do.
Well, no, but I'm not thinking it's incredibly positive because our son very well could have an inclination to eat glue. And if he's not, you know, cool like I was, and if he doesn't know how to like get away with things, then he will be the glue eater.
No, he was not going to be the glue eater. Let me just
no, we'll break
right
him
now.
Of that.
Yeah.
I mean, do you know my brother was a thumb sucker?
Mm-hmm.
And my dad duct taped giant gloves to his hand.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, duct taped them. Oh, somebody's calling. And the phone message picked up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey, we could talk to him.
Oh, it's probably like Salvation Army or something.
Oh, yeah. What's the deal? Oh, it's Brian.
Salvation Army. Brian.
Okay, well, if I don't have a phone in here, so we could really screw with him.
Maybe next time.
Yeah. I got to call Brian anyway. He has that camera on mine. I got to get that back.
Hmm.
So.
Glue eating.
You're clear on that, though.
I guess. You know, the thing is, though, you know, when we went to school there, you had the glue. You also had the paste.
I didn't eat paste.
You're very, you're like a connoisseur of adhesives. Yeah. No paste, just glue. Anyway, I don't think they get any of those anymore, do they? Maybe there's glue sticks.
And the paste, remember, like you'd screw off the top and there was a stick.
See. Yeah, yeah.
Already there, and it was always gobbed up.
Yeah, it never was as effective as glue.
No.
I mean, ugh, what a mess. Remember you had a pencil box and everything, and you had scissors, and...
I loved the first... I loved not the, really the first day of school, but I loved being ready for the first day of school with all your crayons.
New notebooks.
Pencils, new notebook.
Yeah.
Oh, your desk was clean for once. But Brent Chedzi, he would suck the glue like a bottle. Like, I would get it on my finger and just go, like, oh, okay, well, I'll eat the glue. It's really more of a cleanliness thing.
Yeah, that's bad. I sat across from the paste eater.
Oh, yeah. Did he eat it off the stick?
It was a girl. Yeah.
A girl?
Yeah.
Was she popular? Did she eventually grow up to be something?
I have no idea what she's doing.
What do you think? From what you knew of her, I mean, what was she like?
Well, I don't know. I mean, she was like in the elementary school for a few years, and then she kind of disappeared, moved away, and then she came back in high school. So it was like,
what did she have, huge
person.
Boobs or something? Or was she
totally
a total slut?
Yeah, she totally.
God, yeah, we had those. Yeah, they went away and they were dorks, and it was like they went away for a 3-year makeover in Redneckville,
yeah.
And they come back and
just be crazy.
Oh yeah, just wreak havoc on the established women in the class. I mean, we had Nikki, Rosa, and Lynette. Those were the established women, and that, yeah, and. We had a couple girls that
rotation, I'm sure,
and come back and
yeah, it was weird. Yeah, I wonder what she's doing. Deidre Passarello.
Heck, I mean, that's, you know, there should be a study, because once you get a stigma when you're young, you know, if you're the kid that cries a lot, or if you're the smelly kid, you know, if you're Farty Marty Lundeen, whatever, I know Farty Marty isn't done much with his life. He dropped out of school.
Oh,
he was a mess.
On.
No, I'm sure of it.
No.
He stole my football jersey, my high school football jersey, what? Out of my locker, and then wore it to school the next day.
Well, that's not very
I
smart.
I was like, dude, that's my jersey. He's like, no, my mom got this for me. It's like, oh, she did.
From my
did
locker?
Did she steal it from my locker? And see, Farty Marty, he had a bad deal because he had a runny nose all the time and he'd lick the upper lip. So, but that from a very young age. He's screwed. And then it affected his entire family. His little sister, Missy, was supposedly born in the toilet.
Oh, God.
It tears people, you know, the whole entire.
No, you're putting too much emphasis. Other people, they just grow out of it. It's no big deal. They totally
No,
forget.
I think it really screws with people. And I think they never achieve. And they never achieve. You know, I mean, while other people are CEOs and doctors and lawyers, they never get and fulfill their full potential because they're screwed up.
I don't know.
Afraid to go to, you know, they're like, oh, God, I would get a job. But the last place I went out was a group of people. They called me the, you know, Farty Marty.
That's why you move. Go to, you know, go away to school.
Yeah, you move and then you just try to reinvent yourself.
So he licked snot off of his lip and he farted a lot, I'm guessing.
Well, it just rhymed.
Well, geez, man.
But, I mean, once you do one gross thing, you might as well just, you know, you better hunker down because they're all going to get piled
on
you.
See, I think you guys were just extra mean at your school.
Well, we didn't have as many kids. We had 20 in the class, we had to concentrate to mean. I mean, yeah, there was like 3 people who just, I mean, we beat them senseless, emotionally.
Ugh, messed up.
Yeah. But this is something, too. I was trying to explain this the other day. And as we grow up, we don't shed any of our insecurities or anything. And more on that in a second. But first, let me, before I get to that, I forgot to do the trivia.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we're doing trivia. It's trivia time on Ewe and the Beast.
Yeah.
Okay. Today, a senator made an analogy I thought was pretty funny, and in this instance, which will be the answer, I guess which instance was compared to people showing up in tuxedos and top hats. At the homeless shelter. Or I guess the soup kitchen, I think is what he said. What instance was today compared to desperate people showing up in tuxedos and top hats at a soup kitchen?
I don't know. I didn't get to surf at all today.
Boom! Your answer coming up.
Nice.
That was trivia. We'll have the answer coming up. But, okay, here's the deal that I was trying to explain to you. Is Angel called... We saw Angel a month ago with her new hubby.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, hey, we're going to get together.
Right.
And...
it didn't happen.
I after a week, I was like, God, we haven't gotten together. And I just should call to let her know, we've been thinking about you. We'd love to get together. It's just been busy.
Right.
So I call with that, and she's trying to counter with the same thing. Oh, no, we're sorry. We want to get together, but we've been busy. So I realized we'd created this competition. Like, who was more sorry? Because if you're not sorry, then you're someone who's just been sitting around waiting to see the other people. Like, you have no life. Like, if the other person doesn't want to say, like, yeah, where have you been? I mean... you know, me and the new husband, we clean the place and...
oh, please, yeah.
Okay, but if people get into that situation where you're like, oh, God, I'm sorry, we'd love to. And the other person is like,
we're sorry.
Oh, we've been goodness. Even more
it's
busy.
It's our fault.
We've had more of a life going. Yeah, but it's like a competition.
I know, yeah. That's weird.
Yeah, so I was engaged.
So did you win?
I don't think I did. I tried.
Oh, come
on. It took me by surprise how good she was. And how many things were going on in their life. And then she went on a streak about what was going on.
Wow.
And
so when do we postpone?
Don't even know. I was so caught up in the competition, I don't even remember any details. We may have missed the date, which would put us in the winner's column because we're so damn busy, we forgot to even see you when there was a scheduled event.
No, you were just spacing out.
But still, it makes us look better.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's the cool thing about this game. You totally flake out. You look good. You're like, oh, God, I'm so sorry. Yeah, we were just so busy. No, we were at home watching Arsenio Hall.
On my network TV.
Oh, man. So we got a tiny, tiny chime coming up.
No, I don't.
No, I think I got one.
Oh, golly. Okay.
I have one for you. I don't know.
Okay.
All right. But for the Braid Revival, tiny chime, answer the trivia question, and then out with the weekly Ewe and the Beast.
Oh, gosh. We've been rambling, huh?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
All right. Sorry about that. Here we go.
Won't you come on in? Come on in!
Good to see ya, friend.
Come on in!
We're wondering how you been.
Life's wide and road.
Put down your load.
Come on in! Come on in! Come
now,
on!
Stimulate your favorite organ.
Yeah, there you go.
It's the Brain Revival Hour.
If you're tired and sick and your tears are tumbling down, find yourself walking shaky ground.
All right, here we go, folks. Quick brain revival as usual. I just want to mention one thing. You know, right now, President Bush is his lame duck days, and boy, he's just doing everything possible. Relaxing restrictions on endangered species and opening up any kind of land he can to his oil buddies. I mean, he's just having a party. But one thing he's doing is after the big $700 billion bailout, he wants nothing to do with the $25 billion bailout requested by the big three automakers, Chrysler and GM and Ford. And so it's going to be incumbent upon the new president-elect, Barack Obama, will be about everything that's been ignored over the past 8 years, to figure out. Now, Tiny, where are you on bailing out the big three?
I don't want to say. I mean, that's hard. That's really hard. I see both sides. I don't... when you say big three, I automatically say F them. I mean,
yeah.
They're not efficient. They're not doing anything to make any changes. But then you see how many people they employ at their factories.
I know they have us by the short hairs.
Right. It's just, you can't say, yeah, screw them, because you're screwing your
man. Are so good. Like, screw you. Well, you're, you know, shoving a sea urchin in a plate. It just...
it's bad.
You know, here's GM that completely screw. I mean, they They repossessed their electric car, which was a great idea, and tore them up, shredded them, so the technology wouldn't even exist.
But repoing wasn't a good idea. The actual car was a good idea, just to clarify.
Oh, did I? What did I say?
You just said they were repoing their electric car, which is a great idea.
Oh,
so sorry, I just wanted to make sure we get this
That was
right.
a bad idea, yeah. That was a good idea for you to clarify what I said.
Thank you.
But, yeah, so they have this electric car, which is a great idea. They tear them to pieces so the technology doesn't exist because they realize they can sell the Hummer. And if you own an SUV, I'm sorry, but you got screwed. They realized that the profit margin could be a lot higher with the proper marketing, and they nailed it. They had a bunch of great marketing, and they played on egos and stuff, and they got people to buy these things for a whole lot more than they were worth. And then the high gas came along. Toyota and everybody else was just kicking them right in the, on the hiney. They made bad decisions. I mean, come on. Selling the Hummer. Please.
Yeah, it's what people do. I mean, you know, I don't know, what the market will...
I know, but it's so short-sighted.
Oh, yeah, it's bad.
But even when gas was cheap, they were losing and losing and losing. And this is just one reason why the bailout is a bad idea. I mean, because you mentioned just hearing the term Big Three turned you off. Mm-hmm. And it's true. A bunch of good old boys. And I did not know this, but Chrysler's CEO, which Chrysler really isn't even, they're owned by a private equity firm now, but they have a CEO, Robert Nardelli. Do you know who this bag of poo is? Maybe he's not a bag of poo. He's a wealthy fellow. He was the CEO of Home Depot for several years.
Before that went crapville, right?
Yeah. Stock didn't do well. He showed up at a shareholders meeting, refused to answer questions. People didn't like him. However, when he resigned, he received a $210 million parachute of cash and stock options, including $20 million of a cash severance payment and retirement benefits of $32 million.
Now, why would that person go back to work anywhere? Seriously.
I don't get it.
I mean, he's fine. He's set.
So he gets hired at Chrysler, and this is the culture we'll be supporting with our tax dollars, as some guy who just got a $210 million golden parachute. And that's just this guy in his 6 years there made $126 million a year.
A year?
A year.
Wow.
Okay. Maybe it's time to let that go.
Yeah.
Or we say, listen, the taxpayers keep owning all these banks and stuff. And when do we actually get to sit down at a table and say, this is what we want?
Well, yeah. And if there's a company owned by a private equity firm, their financials aren't public.
Exactly.
They don't have to divulge information.
But they're showing their hand by begging for money, right, money at right. least. So, ugh. And it's Chrysler. So you can't imagine that it's doing
well. Yeah. Yeah.
Does anybody drive a Chrysler? I don't know. That's not 10 years old. I mean, you see people. Everything I say.
Sorry, I was just like, wow, why would it?
Irregardless of whether or not I think it makes sense.
No, yeah. Are there new Chryslers?
I don't know. You see someone near Chrysler, and you're like, oh boy, God, I hope they get through that. You know, it's like a car you buy for $50, you know, hoping that you can last long enough to get a job.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So they hire this guy. I mean, dude, if we bail them out, can we say, listen, you got to start fighting the CAFE fuel efficiency standard so that we might be more efficient than the Chinese automakers, and we want better cars.
Well, yeah, we should want better say, cup holders. Like, what our wants are. Yeah, because, that's ridiculous. And maybe we could say, and he doesn't get paid for, 5 years or whatever, until they do these things.
And
how
Robert
about that?
Nardelli, yeah, exactly. No one gets paid until...
None of the executives.
They turn around. Yeah.
Come on.
I can't say anything right today. None of the 3 million people that we're worried about losing their job if you collapse gets paid until you figure this stuff out.
Sorry.
I'm so glad you're here. Why would you even go back to work and at a crappy auto maker?
They must have given him a sweet deal.
So you've made... in the 6 years he was there with his parachute, he made $1 billion.
Really?
$126 million a year times six. So there you're at $750.
Plus
$950.
Yeah, close, yeah. Wow.
Nuts. for screwing up a company.
Yeah, now that's, I mean, yeah, he's either, maybe he's really smart. I mean, how does he get away with that?
Dude, I don't know.
And get another good job.
And yeah, and then gets another gig. They're like, hey, that
Do
guy.
Do they see his resume? Do they?
Okay, so the Tiny Chime could be a lot of things today, Tiny. You've been busy. You've been busy blogging. You have a lot of neat ideas. But one thing, this is a Tiny Chime. One thing that, you know, it's always fun in radio to take a consonant and then repeat it a lot. Here we go. Tiny Chime.
Okay.
So, oh, I called you on the phone the other day, and you had received a request to do this big project. And you didn't want to do it because you knew, as it was requested, it would be wrong. And so that you would do it, and then somebody would point out that it was wrong, and you would have to say, well, I knew that it was going to be wrong. So we came up with this phrase, it's defensive work posturing, where you want to just announce to everybody at the company that, yes, you're going to do this thing you've been told to do, but you know it's wrong before the person who tells you it's going to be wrong knows.
Yeah. But then at the same time, you kind of look dumb because you're like, well, if you knew it was wrong, why'd you do it? Well, because the idiots up there told me to. You know?
So what did you do?
I did it wrong. And I told people. I told some other people. But that's a good thing. This is what I did, but this is why it's wrong. Do you see what I'm saying? And they totally understood. They said, yeah, that's not right. I'm like, all right.
Did you see in their face, was there more of an understanding? Or was there more of a disappointment that you just went ahead and wasted time and did something wrong?
Oh, no, there's an understanding.
But they didn't look at you with, like, one eye, like, kind of twitching, like, what?
No. Because it was already, I mean, it was...
Because they all worked
because
there?
Because, you know, before I went ahead and did it, I kind of just, I questioned twice. Via email, so you have a paper trail, or a non-paper. Anyway, you have a trail.
Yeah.
So I could say, I checked twice, just to clarify, just want to make sure, don't want to be a pest, but I just want to make sure this is how you want it, because I see this is...
Ooh, that's a good way. Oh, so the tiny chime tip one, paper trail, and I love how you word that. I just want to make sure this is how you want this.
You.
Yeah, good. That's perfect recompense for them always using that awful, painful, passive-aggressive we.
Yeah. We need to.
Yeah, you mean me?
Yeah.
So, okay, and then you sent out the paper trail.
Yep.
And then you went ahead and did it.
Then I went ahead and did it.
And you got paid for that time.
Absolutely.
And then you're going to get paid for more time.
Right.
To redo it.
Hey, if you want me to waste time, if I'm getting paid for it, I guess that's okay. I mean, it's disappointing to me, but just pay me and I'll waste your time and my time and everybody else's.
Just pay me.
Just pay me for it. I don't care. Maybe that's like what the CEOs do on a bigger scale. You want me to F this up?
I'll do it.
Sure.
You're going to pay.
As long as you know. And I'll need a parachute.
So. Yeah, I don't know how you get to that point. Like, I was just thinking about Barack Obama being president. Like, the levels, the improbability of one person being president. You know, one in, you know, 300 million or whatever. And what any president has to go through to get to that point. And at that level, like just the CEO, Robert Nardella at Chrysler. I mean, what gall, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I feel bad if I take too many of those mints from that Greek place.
Yeah.
Well, you make me feel bad. Well, I love them, the little butter ones.
I love those too, but I always feel weird.
You can't just put your whole hand in there because they don't have wrappers, but you have to have a little spoon.
Right.
And that's what really makes you look like an ass kid. You're spooning them. You can't just walk out and grab a handful. I feel bad about that, but this guy, $1 billion from a company he's taken.
He must have worked really bad hours or something. I don't know.
I hope, but I mean, just even if he worked 24 hours a day, 363 days a year, we'll give him a weekend. Then
yeah, I wonder what the
hourly wage. Math
calculator. Yeah, I don't do math anymore.
Yeah, that's a lot of math. Okay, but still, he's doing quite well.
Yeah.
And now to the answer to the trivia question. It was a great comparison was made today, and it was that it was these guys. It's like them the way they what they did. It was like them showing up at a soup kitchen in a tuxedo and a top hat. And Tiny, back to the brain revival topic. That would be the CEOs of the big three automakers flying to the nation's capital in private luxurious jets to make their case that the auto industry is so desperate that they need $25 billion in taxpayer money.
Bad move, folks.
I mean, you know, you could even do first class.
Yeah, like they don't have enough miles racked up or something.
Yeah, or, you know, show us how confident you are in your product.
And drive it.
Road trip.
Yeah.
The Chrysler guy would be like, can we borrow one of your cars?
You'd be hitchhiking. Are you kidding?
They're all crammed into a Toyota. All right, dude. Well, that's pretty much it. It was easy, and it's weekly, at least for now.
Yay!
It's the inaugural weekly podcast.
Thank you for listening to Iwi and the Beast.